Michael Smith, when does coming in second mean awesome things?
I don't know. When?
When you were supposed to pick 11th.
This is 40.
Look at you. This You've been waiting all week to get that reference in here.
Yeah. Not a bad movie.
No, not a bad movie.
Yeah, kind of fun.
Yeah, I'm a big Paul Rudd fan.
I like Judd Apatow. Speaking of Judd Apatow, I saw, finally got a chance to watch the two-part Zen Diaries of Gary Shandling documentary on HBO. Really, really, really well done. If you're a fan of comedy, if you're a fan of Gary Shandling, and the comedies that he influenced are just so vast. The comedians, the TV shows, the movies. It's a really well done documentary. Carve out, I think it's about 4.5 hours all total. So it's long. It's in true Judd Apatow form. It is very long.
That's fine.
But it's really good.
Oh no, I was watching some of it actually. I was watching it. It was on the road. It was on HBO, and I caught part of it. So it's well done. For me, the Larry Sanders Show is about as good as cable television can get.
Yeah, that was really, I think, his crowning achievement. I haven't seen it's the Gary Shandling Show.
Which, that was hilarious for the time, because it broke the fourth wall, kind of like our show tries to do, talking to the fans.
Yes, and the big news for the Hurricanes,
huge
really
news.
Big news.
Yes.
It was a great weekend for the Hurricanes as they entered Saturday night's draft lottery with the 11th best chance of winning the first overall pick. While they didn't win that, they did win the second lottery, so they jump 9 teams and move up to the second overall pick in the 2018 NHL Draft. TV's Mike Maniscalco, what kind of impact does this have for the Hurricanes?
I think it's a huge impact, because now when you're selecting in the top five, in particular, the top two in the NHL Draft, just go back the last 5 years and see the players that have been coming into the league who play from day one and have an impact. Let's go back last year. You want to tell me that New Jersey and Philadelphia did not gain from adding a Nico Hischier and a Nolan Patrick to their lineup? They absolutely did. Austin Matthews and Patrick Laine, that hasn't helped out Toronto and Winnipeg. While Jack Eichel hasn't helped out Buffalo, I think it's safe to say Connor McDavid, even though this year Edmonton flopped a little bit, Edmonton's got the best player in the world. Those two teams have all gotten better. You get a marquee player that fans want to come and see night in, night out, and you can – I hate to go down this road, but you can get a superstar with the first or second overall pick in the NHL draft. And it is, I think, not a full-on franchise changer, but this is a guy who whoever you're going to plug in with that second pick, who is going to be a big part of this franchise for years to come.
Yeah, it was quite a delight, really. I mean, you sit down and watch the lottery, and you kind of expected to see the Hurricanes logo come up there at 11, just because it was around
a 3% chance.
Well, yeah, it was around 60% chance that their logo would come up there at 11, but it didn't.
Well, a 3% chance to get the number one pick overall, right?
Right. Yeah. And so when that, 11th oversized index card, whatever you want to call it, was flipped over, and it was not the Hurricanes logo, that was exciting because you knew the Hurricanes moved up into the top three. And I actually didn't mind. I know, some malign the NHL's decision to sort of string out the process, but that gap in between revealing picks 15 through 4 and then 1 through 3, it really built the tension. It really got my excitement going through for those couple hours. A really good hockey game, too.
Oh, yeah.
San Jose and Golden Knights. And you got to hear, of course, John Forslund call that game. But, yeah, I didn't really mind it. And then you get to the top three, and incredibly nerve-wracking. You knew the Hurricanes were going to end up with a good pick, obviously. But to land the second overall pick, to jump 9 spots, and go from just a mid-round pick that would have been fine, probably, in a year or two, maybe three, to a number two pick, like you said, who's going to bring in a player that can have an immediate impact. That's incredibly huge for a franchise, for a team, for an organization that I think many feel is still on the brink. Even having taken possibly a step back in the standings this year, this team's still very young, still very talented, still very close to maybe overcoming that hump. And perhaps this player, this number two overall pick, could help the Hurricanes do just that.
Yeah, and again, I will go back to two teams that weren't in the playoffs last year, Philly and New Jersey.
Yep.
New Jersey picked one, Philly picked two. Those two teams were in the playoffs this year.
Yep.
Now, Nico Hischier and Nolan Patrick, centers, and this is, I guess, this year for the draft, center position is not exactly loaded, but there is a lot of skill that is in this draft overall. And, you know, the number one pick overall that the Buffalo Sabres get looks like it should be Rasmus Dahlin, the defenseman. So that means the Canes will have their pick of the litter of the best forwards who are available. And it's a great position to be in. It really is. And I'm excited. And the fans should be excited too, because don't forget, I think Marty Natchez is coming over next year and will be a full-time NHL player. And you can pair him up with, or you can figure this out any way you want to, Michael. But I think that the Hurricanes have now got themselves set up for a long, long time with some players who are going to be dynamic offensively. And that's one thing that's kind of been missing for the Canes. But you put in Natchez, we know what Sebastian Aho is. We've seen what Teuvo Teravainen is turning into. And you add whoever that second overall pick is going to be. And, oh, by the way, Jeff Skinner is still on this roster. So now you got some guys with some offensive punch who can come out and come at you in a couple of waves, which is, if you've been watching the playoffs, that's how you win these games.
Yeah.
The next line that comes over the board puts more pressure on the line that was on before you.
Yeah, and it's an exciting time. I don't think we can say it enough how exciting it is for this franchise to have this happen. You know, as Mike Sunheim, the VP of Communications here, tweeted this morning, that the Hurricanes have been involved in the draft lottery 18 times since it began in 95, and never have they moved up. Now, given, you know, most of those lotteries were just for the number one pick. They've only recently started doing the three separate lotteries. But, you know, to have that happen is huge. And to have it happen with such slim odds for it to happen, because he had 3% chance to win the first pick, even to win the second pick, was, I would imagine, just a hair over 3%. So you're still talking incredibly slim odds. And the lottery balls fell in favor of the Hurricanes. And that's really cool to see, really exciting to see. The fan base should be excited about what's to come, because it's going to be an exciting couple of months when an impact player, you know, puts on that Hurricane sweater come June 22nd in Dallas.
For you, what do you think this does for the organization, having the second overall pick?
Well, I think, one, it galvanizes some of the belief that this team is close, and adding a piece that can benefit this team immediately is huge. It's one thing, as Don Waddell told us on the conference call on Saturday night, it's one thing to have the 11th pick. The value of that is fine. But the value of the number two pick is great. And whether you keep it and make a pick of an 18-year-old who's going to step in and be an impact maker immediately, or you trade it and you're trading for probably an asset that is also going to help you immediately, an NHL player and possibly a lower first-round pick, in either case, you're factoring in a new piece that is going to make an impact immediately. And that's gonna help the club no matter what. So to have this number two pick, to have that asset in hand, again, whether you choose to make the pick or whether you choose to move it for something else, that's incredibly valuable to this franchise. And, you know, like you said, it helped a couple teams get over the hump last year. It could very well do the same for the Hurricanes this year.
Well, the other thing, too, the overall draft process that you already hit on, some people don't like it. I like it because I hate tanking. I really do. I hate this whole idea of, well, we're not going to win, so let's just put a bad product out there and, you know, we'll be rewarded for it down the road.
And it didn't work out for Colorado last year.
No, and it didn't work out for Buffalo the years that they wanted to get. I mean, they got Jack Eichel, who I guess is a good consolation prize.
That's not
but
bad.
No, it hasn't turned around their fortunes. But what people don't realize at the time, it is a hard sell to tell your fans, we're going to lose tonight. But don't worry, at the end of the rainbow, we're going to get better. And it's just for me, especially here, I'm glad that this is a team that for the first time, and when everybody goes, oh, it's they put on this run in March and here we are. Well, you would love to see them get in the playoffs, but I always want the team to play to win. I always want my team to play to win. But if you missed, this is what I like about this process. Now, you still have a chance – to move up, and a team that tanked has a chance to be punished for tanking.
Yeah, they only have a 20% chance. And I say only because when you think about it, that's just a 1 in 5 chance to land the first overall pick. I mean, that's not huge odds by any means. You say it's tough to sell tanking. That's certainly true. It's also tough for, I would imagine, a head coach. You know, that you can't, as a head coach, you're coaching to win. As a player, you're playing to win. So it's a tough mindset to be in, really, all across the board. And so for this lottery to give really every team that missed the NHL playoffs a chance to move up in the draft order.
That's what I like about it.
Yeah, it creates excitement. It creates
because it takes a team that's knocking on the door. If you can get into the top three, it gives you a player who can hopefully help you kick it down.
Right, and that's exactly what we saw with New Jersey and Philadelphia, and I think it's certainly possible that we see it with Carolina this year.
All right, biggest surprise from the draft lottery for you. Hurricanes end up with a second overall pick, or the Edmonton Oilers didn't get number one? Because I'm going to be honest, it was Edmonton not getting number one that just shocked me.
Right. Yeah, I mean, that's up there, right?
It has to be up there.
But the Hurricanes, I mean, jumping 9 spots is pretty impressive. I mean, we saw it with Philadelphia last year. They moved up from, I believe they were at...
I think they were 12.
12, and they moved up to 2. So, you know, 2 years in a row, it's happened that one of those teams sort of hanging out near the bottom with low odds shoots up in the draft order, and that's exciting. That's exciting, and it was an exciting night to watch, and I have to imagine Don Waddell representing the Hurricanes in Toronto was extremely excited seeing those results play out in studio.
Yeah, he should be, and I think the Hurricanes have never had the number one overall draft pick as a franchise going all the way back to the Hartford days.
Yeah, they had it the year they drafted Eric Staal, but they did not win the lottery.
Exactly.
And I think they were going to take Staal regardless, so it doesn't really matter. But
yeah. So they got Staal with the second pick.
Correct.
Overall.
Pretty good pick.
Yeah, it's not too bad. And if my memory serves me correctly, they also got Sylvain Turgeon.
Yes, in 1983.
Who had, you know, I think he scored 40 his rookie year.
He had a big rookie year.
I know he had 71 goals in his first 2 years in the league. And correct me if I'm wrong.
Chris Pronger, 1993.
A guy who... the Canes fan base knows well from the 2006 Stanley Cup Finals because he was playing for Edmonton, but Chris Pronger was a hell of a good hockey player.
That's 3 really big hockey players that the Hurricanes have drafted, 2 overall. And really, if you go down the list of, you know, historical number 2 picks, you're going to find good player after good player after good player. So the Hurricanes are well set up to land someone, you know, like Eric Staal did when he was coming out of his draft year to play for the team right away.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I think it's only a good thing for this franchise.
Yep.
I mean, there's not one thing that I'm looking at this and saying, oh, well, you know, the second overall pick says this or that. No, I think that you're getting a player now in today's NHL that will be really, really good. And it's a player that Chuck Caton will get to call his first NHL goal.
Crowd noise only.
Oh, thank you.
So I admittedly had not looked at a ton of draft stuff. I start to do that later on in May as we get into June and get closer to the draft. Just because, you know, there are other things to take care of and the NHL playoffs, Stanley Cup playoffs are going on. But obviously, you know, this news of the Hurricanes climbing in the draft order, the questions become, okay, well, who are the Hurricanes going to take? Because, as you said, Buffalo Sabres probably taking defenseman Rasmus Dahlin from Sweden.
Dahlin.
Oh, Dahlin.
Got that from Robert Kron, the Canes European scout. Yep.
I
thought it was Dahlin because there was a player.
Weren't they calling him Dahlin on television?
Because I think a lot of people thought that he was related to Ulf Dahlin, and he's not.
Or Nicholas Wallin.
It's Ulf Dahlin, so... Not too shabby.
But among the forwards available for the Hurricanes to pick, Andrei Svechnikov, right wing from Barrie of the OHL, he scored 40 goals. That seems pretty good.
Yeah.
In like 44 games, I think, yeah. There's also Philip Zadina, right winger from Halifax in the QMJHL, and Brady Tkachuk, left winger out of Boston University. You probably recognize the last name. His father played hockey.
Keith Tkachuk.
Yes.
And he was good at hockey.
He also has a brother, Matthew, who currently plays for the Calgary Flames.
Yeah, he's good too.
So good lineage there. Those are just 3 names to throw out.
Well, we had a question for that.
Yeah.
You want to ask?
Let's get to it.
We'll get to that question. By the way, Philippe Zadina, line mate of Marty Natchez, in the Czech Republic in the World Juniors, at the World Junior Tournament, where Nachos just let everything on fire. He had 44 goals in 57 games this year for Halifax. That's pretty good,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
No, but we had a question come in, Michael, and we are always happy to answer these questions when you have them for us here on CanesCast. Use hashtag CanesCast. And remember, download us on iTunes and Google Play. Rate us.
Subscribe.
We're still 5 stars.
Leave a review.
Yeah. Once again, 5 stars.
Best friends.
Really appreciate it. Everything else, we're still very good friends with you. That's
well,
all that matters.
4 and 3 is we're on the fence. 2, we're probably not going to talk to you ever again. And 1, you're dead to us.
No.
Well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably.
Probably.
Probably. Probably. So the question that came in was for us, our top 10 picks, because at the time when this came in, we were asked, you know, probably thinking the 11th pick was coming in overall.
Right.
But this is from at Nonprofit Caniac, giving you a list of the top 10. Seeing the Canes have the second overall pick, let's just go top 3 and 4. And Michael, you kind of ran it down for me. That's it. Rasmus Dahlin is the number one player on the board, according to everyone. Can't miss defensive prospect who is the next Erik Karlsson that they're going to say, and he gets into that. But then you've got the 3 intriguing forward prospects. They're all wingers, but Svechnikov, Zadina, and Tkachuk. And they're all big bodies, too. They're all over 6 foot. They're all over 185 pounds. So we'll just give you the top 4 instead of going to the top 10, because the Canes are going to get their pick of, I think, those 3 forwards, whoever they want, whoever they think fits.
Yeah, and I think beyond that, you've got a group of defensemen that could be considered. Noah Dobson, Evan Bouchard, Quentin Hughes, Adam Boqvist, among the skaters. But I think, you know, where the Hurricanes sit, looking at their organizational needs, considering all of that, I think you're going to see the Hurricanes, should they hold on to the number 2 pick, I think you're going to see them pick one of those 3 forwards. That seems to be the consensus in terms of where they're ranked. I think really anything beyond that might be kind of a reach, you know, if you don't trade down.
Yeah.
But those 3 forwards are going to be immediate impact players. Svechnikov has a brother, Evgeny, who plays for the Detroit Red Wings. So, again, some lineage there. Brady Tkachuk, we already mentioned, his dad, his brother. Some good hockey players, and the Hurricanes are going to have their pick of who they feel fits their team and the team's needs best.
Yep.
And it's probably going to be a player who gets into the lineup come opening night in October 2018.
Yeah, and not to put any pressure on whoever the Canes' second overall pick would be, but the last 3 second overall picks have been Nolan Patrick, Patrick Laine, and Jack Eichel, and then Sam Reinhart. Buffalo went number 2, literally, with their seasons, 2014-2015. But Sam Reinhart had a good season this year. And if you go back to 2013, so the last 5, Alexander Barkov for the Florida Panthers. I say he's turned into a good hockey player,
also
too.
Also good. That was the year Seth Jones slid a few picks in the draft.
Yeah, he went to 4.
The consensus, and some believed, you know, the number 1 overall pick. Don't think that's going to happen this year with Dahlin.
No.
I think the consensus there is he is the best player in the draft regardless. There was some thought that, you know, I think he's more highly regarded now than Seth Jones was going into that 2013 draft.
By the way, Alexander Barkov, the sneakiest Finnish name in the history of the world.
Yes.
Just so we're all clear on that one.
Yep.
All right. So
not Russian.
No, not Russian. That's one question. You want to keep going down with the question round
we'll
here?
We'll keep hitting the questions here.
All right. I'm excited about this. This from at Real John Murphy, although I worked with a guy, John Murphy, who is the play-by-play voice.
There can be only one.
Yeah, I guess so. I'll have to have him work out with that one. well, number 2 pick, huh? How good is Andrei Svechnikov? Hopefully we don't force him into a Canes uniform too soon, like we have done too many times in the past.
I don't know if it's happened too many times. It's happened maybe once or twice, but
I could see that Elias Lindholm was rushed a little bit.
Yes.
And that's about it.
Yeah.
When you're looking at and ready even, to play and how could they play.
And even he said as much this season. I think he told me at one point that he just physically he was not ready for the rigors of the NHL. And that's that happens. That's fine.
Yeah. But the word is Svechnikov is good to go. Sniper, he's great shot, everything that you're looking for.
6'2", 6'3", 185. He's only going to continue to fill out that big frame moving forward.
6'2", 188, according to TSN's mock draft. Blend of skill, sense of power, and a drive that reminds those of Marian Hossa. A factor in the game in all areas. He will be in the NHL next season.
There you go. So I don't think at two, again, you know, we talk about.
And that's from Craig Button, TSN. He a former scout, I think former GM. So Craig Button saying that about a guy he can play.
Yeah, and I think there is a difference to be noted, too, between a top 1-2 pick versus even a number 5, 6, or 7. Because, again, you're talking about probably a talent drop-off that there might need to be some time for a guy to marinate, you know, whether it's overseas or with his junior team again before he jumps into the lineup. But I think you're looking at here, you know, the Sabres, the Hurricanes, they're both in position to pick a player who can
help them immediately
make an impact.
Yep. And these guys can. And again, the last five that we just told you, all those guys immediately made an impact on their team. Immediately. So that's where we are for the upcoming draft. And again, this is a great thing to talk about, Michael. It really is, because gets us going to the draft. And as mentioned, there's lots of things you can do now. I mean, how many doors does this open up as far as, if you're thinking about trading out, what can you get?
Yeah. I mean, it has to be at least considered, right? I mean, when you look at evaluating your assets, you have to consider the number two pick as an asset. So,
oh, yeah.
Considering that, what can you get for it? And it's probably one of those three forwards that we mentioned. How is that going to compare to player X who's
already in the National Hockey League,
correct,
yeah,
from another team, and add maybe a lower first round pick? So, I mean, it's got to be at least considered, because when you're evaluating all your assets, you want to make sure you get the most out of them, like Tom Dundon said in his end of season press conference. So it's got to be at least considered. If I had to place a bet on it, I would say the Hurricanes probably do make that number two pick come draft day. But I think you at least have to consider what you could get for it on the market.
This is episode number 40 of the Canescast. This is 40, along with the Web's Michael Smith.
And TV's Mike Maniscalco.
We are taking your questions that have come via the Twitter machine using hashtag Canescast. This is from Caitlin. This is probably your territory, Michael. Any news or rumor about the Canes getting a third jersey for the 2018-19 season? And what are y'all's favorite Canes jersey style?
So, yeah, third jerseys will be returning in the NHL in the 2018-19 season. So I think you'll begin to see some teams reveal theirs, at some point during the offseason, at some point during the summer, whether the Canes are in that group, whether it's a black jersey. You'll just have to wait to find out. I think that's about all we can tease right now.
I'm leaving you all of that, because I've, in the past, whenever I've said anything, I say too much.
That's it.
So Michael Smith is
just
said it.
We do have one thing we can talk about.
But the third jerseys are coming back to the NHL this
year.
That was announced.
Yes,
I think they said that when they put out the jerseys last year. People asked them about the third. No, not this year. They just wanted to get the home and the ways done and then work on the third jersey. So teams could resubmit and change them up if they wanted to.
Yeah, and I think you'll see a good amount of them back in the league for this upcoming season. And how many stay the same and how many change, we'll just have to wait and find out.
Yeah, but I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. One thing we can talk about draft-related is the draft party, which was announced in conjunction with the Hurricanes landing the number two overall pick. It's going to be this year, Raleigh Beer Garden downtown. If you've never been to the Beer Garden, first of all, you're missing a good time and good beers, because they have quite a few of them available. Over 300. I think it's the world record for most beers on tap at one establishment. That's Raleigh Beer Garden. That's where you can find the Hurricanes draft party this season, because there are a few indie artists taking over PNC Arena that night. Faith Hill and some other guy. Faith Hill and Tim McGraw.
You could say me and I wouldn't even care. Faith Hill is really the key on that one.
I think they're up and coming artists.
You think?
Yeah. They might have a future in the business. Right. So anyway, they'll be here, so the Hurricanes.
What are they? What's their genre?
I think they country.
Oh, okay. All right.
Guitars and
Let's see if I can dig up any information on him.
Little known, up and coming, rising stars,
so
to speak.
Good to know.
So the Hurricanes won't be able to host the draft party here at PNC Arena as they have in the past few years, so it's shifting to Raleigh Beer Garden. There's going to be tons of space, a huge tent out back, food and beer, obviously, from Beer Garden available for purchase. John Forslund will be there. Shane Willis will be there. Will you be there? Maybe.
Supposedly.
Mike Maniscalco. TV's not, Mike Maniscalco possibly there as well.
I was not on the original list, but there is now negotiations.
More details to come.
I'm working. The Web's Michael Smith is going to be in Dallas.
I will probably be on site in Dallas.
Well, I'm wondering if things might change now that the Canes do have the second overall pick. Maybe plans change.
It could be big. But if you're not planning on joining us in Dallas, I know I think we have some fans joining us in Dallas.
We have a good time at the draft party.
But if you're not joining us in Dallas, yes, join the team at the draft party. Live coverage there, and it'll be big this year because the Hurricanes will be picking quite early in the proceedings, which is going to be exciting.
Yep, can't wait for it. Should be great.
Hurricanes.com/draft party for more information.
You know what else I can't wait for?
What's that?
Something that we do all the time. You're never ready for it, but I am. And we actually have a listener participation part of this grandiose event.
If you like it, you can take it. If you don't, send it right back.
Well, I'll just claim the listener submission as my own.
Oh, come on, man. Every time.
I'll think of one.
No, I'm fine. This is actually a good one. Okay. This is from Rick Alves. We might know the name.
Sounds familiar.
It is familiar.
Does he have a brother?
He does, with the exact same last name.
That makes sense.
There you go. So, submitted from Rick. If you like it, you can take it. I think if you score on a delayed penalty, you should still get a power play. Imagine the intensity on the ice for that time. A penalty could be a two-goal swing. I think it would bring down the stick work. I also like the idea of power plays running the duration regardless of scoring, unless you score shorthanded, in which case you get your guy back.
Wow. So this is completely changing the scope of power plays, penalty kills, and how they operate.
Yep.
It's interesting. It's radical.
I don't know if the NHL would ever eliminate the penalty that you took because you scored shorthanded. It's a neat idea, but I don't think that would happen.
Yeah.
But it is kind of a good idea. It's like, oh, we want to stop being shorthanded? We got to score the goal.
Yeah, I wonder if it would lead to more aggressive penalty kills. Like, would teams take more chances to try to score shorthanded? And then in turn, maybe power plays would be able to score more. I don't know. It's an interesting thought.
It is. As far as the rest of it, I always thought that if you scored with a power play coming up, a delayed penalty, why not have it? Why not keep it? And I don't have a problem if it's a major, you get all 5 minutes, right? All 5 minutes of a power play. Why not? You got 2 minutes of a power play. Score as much as you can. They're always looking to bring up scoring.
Right.
That's a way you can do it. And honestly, how many times are we going to see a team score two goals on a two-minute power play? Not often.
Yeah, it would be pretty rare, I think.
So I don't have a problem with this. I'll take it. I'll take that part of it. I'll send back the you cancel the power play with a shorthanded goal. Even though it's a neat idea, I'll send it back.
It's a really neat idea. It would change. I feel like it would so drastically change the way you approach it.
I'll tell you, you'd see a lot more highly skilled players on the penalty kill.
You'd have to at least see one, or at least coach these players to be able to kill penalties as well. I don't know. It would. Maybe it wouldn't. Maybe coaches would just revert back to the conservative way and just kill the penalties as usual. And if you score a shorthanded goal, it's a bonus.
It's a bonus, yeah.
But at the same time, I mean,
so are you taking all of this?
I think I'm gonna. It's all very intriguing and interesting, and it gets my mind going. I'm gonna leave all of it. Or send it back. I'm gonna
send it back.
All of it.
All right. I'll take let the power play run for the full 2 minutes, but I will send back that you get the guy back.
What about the delayed penalty and then having a power?
I'm keeping that.
You'll take that too?
I'm keeping that.
Yeah, I can see that argument. I mean, because it doesn't make a lot of sense.
It increases scoring. And honestly, how many times 6-on-5 with a delayed penalty? Like that? We see it, but maybe one out of every 20 times there's a delayed penalty, and I think that number is even inflated.
Yeah, no, the penalty was still committed, so they still should probably be penalized, but I guess, you know, in theory, that's what the goal does. It penalizes the goal. So I'll leave it all because I don't – or send it all back because I don't think the NHL will ever take it. They'll send it back all day long. But fascinating ideas.
So I'll tell you, I like the power play stuff because it's a really good way to – you let it run. It's a really good way to increase offense.
Yeah, and if you're looking – exactly, and the league's always looking to increase offense, and these would certainly increase offense for sure.
That's fine. It's fine with me. Again, I like the shorthanded line a little, I think, too hinky, so I'll send that back. So I'm taking two-thirds of that. If you like it, you can take it. And if not, Mike just wants to leave it. He doesn't even want to send it back.
I'll just leave it right here.
Leave it right here. I'm not taking it. Yeah. I'm just leaving it.
And I'm not
it.
Sending it back. It's just staying here. No, I'll send it back. But
you're shelving it for a later date?
Yeah. And I wonder, too, what it would do to, like, you know, power play percentages and penalty kill percentages. Like, if you had that incentive to score a goal and in the other team's power play. It's an interesting thought.
It is. It really is. All right, well, here's the one that I have for you. Okay. Now that the draft lottery is said and done and we've given our thoughts on it, should they decrease the odds even more for the teams that finish dead last to give the other teams a better opportunity to get the first overall pick in the NHL in the NHL draft lottery? Meaning you would get, if you want numbers, if you have the worst record, you get a 15% chance.
Right.
If you have the second worst record, you have a 12.5% chance. And if you have the third worst, you have a 10% chance. And then the rest of the numbers, I mean, they got to make the numbers fit, I know. Right. But
I'm going to send it back. I like the percentages now. I think they're just about right. I mean, like we were talking about earlier, a 1 in 5 chance, I mean, it seems like a lot when you compare it to the other numbers. But when you take it in the grand scheme of things against the other 14 teams, it's really not that much. I mean, there's still a good chance that that team could fall to, you know, at least number two, maybe even number three. I think, yeah, I'm going to send it back because I think the numbers are about right. The thing that I would worry about with tinkering with odds further is just giving a team that might not totally need that advantage more of an advantage than they really need. So I'm going to send it back because I think the numbers are about right. And I also like the 1-2-3, the three separate lottery systems, because I think that only adds intrigue and adds value for other teams in the hopes that they could move up. So I'm gonna send it back.
All right. Well, I'm going to take it.
Okay.
Because it's my idea.
Well, how about this? The three separate lotteries. Do you take it or do you send it back?
Send it back. Just do one.
Okay.
Just boom, pick them.
See, I'd take the three lotteries. I like that because otherwise the Hurricanes wouldn't have moved up this year. Otherwise, Philadelphia wouldn't have moved up last year. I think it sort of gives teams, like you were saying, if you messed with the numbers.
But then doesn't it change the odds because you are then taking the Buffalo Sabres odds out of the second lottery?
It does to an extent.
They draft the first they draft the first pick overall.
Correct.
Right? The ping pong ball, the first one to come out is for the first overall pick, then the second, then the third. So you're removing the Sabres out of that equation. So actually everybody's odds then go up for that second overall pick.
Right.
So that's why, no, just we're going 1-2-3. Here we go.
Okay.
So you know, and if the Sabres come up again because of however the ping, but I don't think it works that way. I don't think there's
okay.
Like,
so you're just saying do one lottery draw.
That's it.
But or one lottery and draw three times instead of three separate lotteries.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I like three separate lotteries.
It's fine. I'm sending it back.
Okay.
Just do it that way, and that way it gives everybody the other thing that I like about if we do it all at one time, everybody has a chance to move up. Everybody. Not the, oh, well, we've done this, and then we're just going to slot you guys accordingly. No, everybody can move up. So that's kind of why I would send it back.
I'm taking it.
Well,
and leaving.
You should right now. And I think that's a perfect way for us to leave this edition of the Canescast.
This is 40.
With the Web's Michael Smith.
And TV's Mike Maniscalco.
We will talk to you next week. Plenty more to talk about for sure.
Maybe. I'm leaving. I'm going on vacation.
You're going on vacation?
Yeah.
Maybe I'll bring in a guest.
Okay.
Maybe.
We'll see. I'll be surprised when I come back.
I don't know.
I might not even be on the podcast when I come back.
I don't know. It'd be odd to do the podcast without you.
Yeah.
Maybe we're carpeting the...
If we don't do it...
Maybe we'll carpet the studio and say we can't do it.
Yeah, if we don't do it next week, we'll do it the next. Or maybe we'll record a short one before I leave.
There you go.
Plenty of options. We'll talk to you in the near future, though.
Well, when are you leaving, though? That's the
Saturday.
Whole key.
Saturday.
Oh, all right.
Yeah.
By the way, I am catching up on my Marvel Universe.
Did you see Infinity War?
No, I've seen Black Panther. And then last night I went to the cheapo movie theater to see Thor Ragnarok.
That's still... Oh, well, I guess it's
at the cheapo, yeah.
They get the late run films.
My Coke Zero cost more. Coke Zero sugar cost more than my movie ticket, which
and
was
Coke
amusing
Zero,
to
if
me.
If you would like to sponsor the podcast, we're always looking for sponsors.
Oh, and Michael
cheap
Smith
movie theaters, you know, yep. Whatever. We'll take anything.
Michael Smith can tell you, I drink Coke Zero sugar like there's no tomorrow.
You do.
I do. So, but yeah, we'll take anything. We're not fussy.
Yeah. Oh, and quickly too, before we get out of here, the Charlotte Checkers are moving on to the second round of the Calder Cup playoffs. They face the
Why is this a quickly? We should have been talking about this more.
We should have, but we were, you know, we began our outro.
Well, you know what? This is maybe why we'll do a short follow-up to This Is 40 about the Checkers. How about that?
Yeah.
We'll give them more time than just a hey. They're playing Lehigh Valley.
They do play Lehigh Valley, and the series begins on Friday. So maybe we'll talk about that. And
does it start at the Bojangles Arena?
No, it starts in Lehigh Valley.
All right.
And shifts to Bojangles the following week for games 3, 4, and 5, if necessary.
Are you going to take a road trip to Charlotte again?
I will still be on vacation.
If necessary.
Yes.
Thank you. That's our life.
We'll talk to you guys sometime soon.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.